Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Yesterday, we did a great interview with David Page out at Shin Vineyards, who took us through the changing lifestyle of going from a chef to a winemaker. And today we're going to be talking for a little while. Francis did another interview during that same trip with Barbara Shin, who is David's wife.
I think that my interview with Barbara talks more about the vineyard itself and mm-hmm. how they're really doing things radically different. And we've been to a lot of vineyards in a lot of parts of the world.
They're certainly doing things very differently than people on Long Island are doing. They've really changed that, or hopefully are going to change. I don't want to say they've changed, because I don't think that many people are doing things the way they do. But hopefully they'll change the paradigm. Hopefully they'll change the way things are done.
Let's listen to what Barbara Shin has to say about maybe blazing new trails and possibly changing the paradigm of farming, especially out here on the East Coast.
So, Barbara, I look at your vineyards and the vineyards around the world, and I've seen a few vineyards like this, but most of the picture postcard vineyards that we see from California or from Europe are very neat rows, and there's not a lot of activity besides the vines going on here. I see dandelions, I see clover, I see grass. Are you guys not paying attention? What's going on?
Well, the first thing that you have to do when you're walking through an organic vineyard is to literally change your paradigm of thought as to what is beauty in a vineyard. The first thing that we began to do when we changed into an organic soil practice here was to treat our vineyard as if it was a meadow, and also perhaps even a forest, since we have a permanent crop here. Grapevines are not torn out and planted every year. This is a permanent crop. You have to think of your farm as if it was a forest or a meadow. Forests and meadows don't need to have any fertilizer applied to them. You don't need to go in and plow a meadow and such in order to aerate the soil. They're self-sustaining natural habitat that can feed itself through its soil food network.
What purposes does it serve to have all of the weeds and the grass and the cover crops that are running, not wild because you cut it down, but to leave it all here rather than take it out?
Well, the general answer to that is biodiversity. We have a monoculture of grapes growing here, and let's say, for instance, there's a disease that happens with the vines or an insect that comes in. If you just have a single crop that you're planting, the chances of that disease or pest being just running rampant is huge. So if we can keep some type of biodiversity on the floor of the vineyard, we're providing a wildlife habitat for other animals to come in and habitate the vineyard and eat the clover and do natural composting for us, let's put it that way. It also allows for the different plants to add their own nutrients back into the soil when we mow them. And we also provide a beneficial bug habitat where the good bugs will eat the bad bugs.
All of these things are important to the planet and sort of fit with my philosophy of how to do right by the planet. But do they make better wine?
Well, I believe that it does. And you have to go with your gut, and you need to go with your heart. And I think that we've proven that here at Shin Estate Vineyards. We have quite a different way of farming than most vineyards out here on the East Coast, and our wines have proven themselves over and over again.
I've been to a lot of organic vineyards, but you sort of you are blazing new trails. And
well, I think the first thing that became apparent to us is David's and my philosophy before we planted the vines was to make very, very high-quality wine and to be as organic as possible. And our best winemaker friends and our best vineyard manager friends and even Cornell University, who we were speaking with, the viticultural section of Cornell University, flat out said to us, you cannot do both things at once here on the East Coast. We have too much disease pressure. It's too humid. You cannot be organic in this environment. So if you want to make high-quality wines, do that. You'll be lucky if 2 to 3% of the materials that you use in your vineyard are organic. And this year, well, I proved them wrong. I was steadfast knowing that I could do that. And this year, 90% of the materials we use in the vineyard were organic.
I look underneath the vines, and there's stuff here. I mean, there's actual material here. Where you look at a lot of picture postcard vineyards and you see just the soil. Is this just the plant material decaying?
Well, it's interesting when you say you see just the soil, because when you look at a picture postcard vineyard with that barren strip of scorched earth underneath the vines, you're not looking at soil, you're looking at dead matter. That soil is not alive. All of the beneficial microorganisms in that soil have been killed, and the soil is so salty from all the herbicides and pesticides that have put on it that it cannot even attempt to sustain any of that underground life.
So that would be dirt, and this would be soil?
Perhaps, yes.
You try to use as many organic practices as you can.
Yes.
But you also have taught, you and I have talked at great length about biodynamic principles. Now, can you explain to us what that's all about?
Well, biodynamics is a way of approaching farming and a way perhaps even of approaching your life. Biodynamics started out as a lifestyle, and in the 1920s was applied to agriculture by Rudolf Steiner. And what he was asking farmers to do was to ignore the promises and the silver bullet of all of these new chemicals that were being introduced to farming in the 1920s, such as the chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides that allowed farmers to just follow a recipe, apply all these materials to their farms, and then go to bed at night and sleep and not have to worry about disease. And he was very worried about this because he actually foresaw the death of the soil and the weakening of our agricultural products because of that.
So he foresaw that when you apply chemicals to the soil, of necessity, in the following years, after you basically sterilize the soil, nothing will grow unless you apply more chemicals to make them grow because the chemicals are killing everything in the soil.
Right, so you're entering this terrible cycle. So he was trying to tell farmers, look at your farm, and for instance, here we are in a vineyard, and find the closest ecosystem that you can occurring naturally in nature and treat your farm like that. So before, when I was talking about, well, we treat out the floor of our vineyard as if it was a meadow and our vines as if they were trees, that's what we do. We grow a natural meadow all the way across our vineyard that does not have to have man-made fertilizers applied to it in order for it to sustain itself. Now, every year we do take a crop off of the vines, so we are taking nutrients away from our farm in the form of grapes, so we do have to put back down those nutrients, but I put those nutrients back down with organic materials.
Well, I saw back at your winery a 55-gallon barrel of fish gut juice that finds its way into your winery. How are you being innovative with this and applying these principles in new ways?
Well, the fish gut juice that you call is called fish hydrolysate, which is the heads and the guts and the tails and the skins that are the byproduct of the catfish industry in the northern Mississippi. So by a sustainable practice of reusing that waste material on our farm for nitrogen feeding of the vines, the catfish industry is not adding to the landfill, and we're actually gaining an organic source of nitrogen by applying that to the soil. The other thing that I use for potassium, for instance, is seaweed from Canada that is powdered, and I reconstitute that with water and drip it along the base of the vines, and so I get potassium in an organic manner.
Well, and you get your own composting. You have an interesting way of using compost in your vineyard.
Well, that gets to a biodynamic practice. The biggest aspect of biodynamics is called manuring, and I don't really call it manuring too much because you just think of a big pile of, you know, cow dung. I use three different types of compost here on the farm. One is a worm castings, the other is a brown compost, which is the tree barks and leaves and such, and the other is a manure-based compost that is buried in the ground for a year and then dug up, and that's a very high potentized compost. Now, when we spread compost on the ground, we're not spreading it in order to spread dirt. We're spreading it in order to introduce the beneficial microorganisms that we were speaking about earlier to the vineyard floor. And what I do is soil drenches with this. I don't need to spread up tons and tons of dry compost on our land. I take about 3 pounds of high-quality compost per acre, and I put that in a very large tea bag, and that's why this concoction is called compost tea, like a tea that you drink. Put it in a large tea bag, and I warm this compost in warm aerated water for about 24 hours, and the millions of microorganisms that are alive in this compost start multiplying. And by the end of a 24-hour period, I have billions of beneficial microorganisms in a vat of 50 gallons of warm aerated water, and I can drip that at the base of each vine.
So you basically, without spreading the compost itself, you just spread the beneficial parts of the compost in liquid.
That's right, yes.
Francis, a great beginning of the interview there with Barbara Shin. And one of the things that I really hope is there are some New York, New Jersey winemakers listening to this show, because Barbara's got a new way to do things. One of the things you're going to see are people are going to learn from the things that she's doing out in her vineyard.
I visited a vineyard recently that I had visited many years ago. There's a vineyard in Pennsylvania called Sandcastle Winery.
Mm-hmm.
And the wine's pretty good. I mean, I would do things differently if I were them. But they have this amazing vineyard land. And I tasted the vines years ago.
The wines
years ago. And the grapes off the vine. I went out and I visited with somebody there. It was a manager, or wine mm-hmm. vineyard manager, many years ago. And I stopped down in Pennsylvania on a motorcycle and with Jen, and we stopped by. And the vineyard is beautiful. It's on these steep slopes, but everything is dead under the vines.
Mm-hmm.
It's a monoculture, and I felt what Barbara's talked about just basically growing a meadow under mm-hmm. the vines. You don't water a menu. You don't a meadow. You don't fertilize a meadow, and it just takes care of itself. And it's really interesting to look about how we work with nature as opposed to working against nature. Anyway, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were, you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We are talking via an interview that Francis did a little while ago with Barbara Shin of Shin Vineyards, and where actually Francis went out to the vineyard and did an interview with her out there.
We've been friends for a long time, and what's interesting is we met Barbara and David before they opened their first restaurant. Now it's a restaurant. They did a bunch of other businesses. They have the bed and breakfast and the winery. Barbara's an interesting person, and she was an artist, right?
Yep.
So, but here's listen to Barbara talk about the relationship between farming and art. I think you'll find it interesting.
You had a few inclinations before, because you didn't come out of college and go to the enology school at the University of California at Davis. You started as an artist, right?
I did start as an artist, but even before that, when I was in college for art, I was taking a lot of soil science classes just simply because I enjoyed it. And I considered a career in forestry, which was an entry-level career in Ohio where I was going to school. And right now, I feel like this is probably the most creative thing I've ever done in my life. As a matter of fact, today I was just telling some wine drinkers that I was taking on a little walk through the vineyard that I considered this to be my painting every single day of my life.
That's a beautiful thing. Do you miss being in the city all the time, late at night, or do you like getting up in the morning and getting on the tractor?
I like getting up in the morning and getting on the tractor.
One of the things that a lot of our listeners, I'm certain, don't know, but some of the people who have known us for a very, very long time do know, is that our restaurant used to be a gallery.
Oh, yes.
And back in the days when it was a gallery, our opening artist of the restaurant when we very first opened was Barbara Shin.
That's right.
And she did a great piece in it, and she's very esoteric, I'll say. And she did a great selection, and it was up with stick pins and giant pictures.
It was giant rolls of photographic paper that Barbara exposed in her loft in Manhattan
mm-hmm.
and then hand-washed developing chemicals over, and it was fascinating. A little scary. Scared some of our customers.
It was a little scary. The name, and I'll share with the listeners, the name of her show was called Eat and die.
Yeah. We all do it, but I don't know that you want to contemplate that while you're eating dinner. But it was very popular. People really liked it a lot.
We'll be back with more of this fascinating interview with Barbara Shin right after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys.
Central Jersey, 1450. It's 1130.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today's a rather unusual show. We are we're going through an interview, a series of interviews that I did with Barbara Shin, who's one of the owners of, with her husband David Page, of Shin Vineyards and Shin Bed and Breakfast out on Long Island. They're two restaurateurs, winemakers, farmers, bed and breakfast owners, and two of the most insightful people I know. And we're speaking specifically with Barbara today about the land of Long Island and why it shouldn't be discounted.
And Francis spends a little bit of time in this next segment talking to Barbara about the topography of Long Island and how it might be a little different than you expect.
Let's listen.
Okay, so we're coming down off your vineyard. And Long Island has this reputation of being a very flat place. And people talk about grape wine always coming from hillside, but there does seem to be quite a bit of rolling hillside here.
Well, I like to call it little flips of land. In any farming environment, you always find little, you know, micro ecosystems that are even within your own farmland. And being very flat means that any subtle change in the positioning of the land really means that you're affecting the vines even more. You're not dealing with shading from mountains or water running through down into a valley, which means that the soil is going to be too wet. Just the small little flips of land really change the sun exposure of the vineyards out here.
Now, I'm looking right toward the base of your land, right at the road, and then we cross the road, and then there's a hill that goes up, and there's a tree line there. That's the Long Island Sound?
Yes, which again just shows you how fragile this environment is. We're in a maritime environment. Our soils are very sandy. The water table is very high. And again, it speaks to you as to why being careful what you put on your farm is so important, because it does end up in our water table.
I'm sure some of our listeners are a little surprised to hear Barbara talk about the region out there and exactly what it's like. The hills and that it rolls a little bit more than you might anticipate.
Well, there's the hills and that it rolls, and when I say that there's a breeze that starts like clockwork, you know, you can feel, when we talked about events out there, it's 20 degrees cooler, mm-hmm. you know, than you might expect. And, you know, one of the great things about all the great wine regions of the world is they are near large bodies of water. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's a river or an ocean or whatever, because large bodies of water have a mitigating effect on the temperature. They make it, they keep it warmer at night, and they make it cooler during the day. Actually, a little bit of trivia, in 1945 was the last time the Long Island Sound froze over. And when the Long Island Sound froze over, there was such a bitter cold through Long Island that all grapevines died.
So they had to start from scratch.
But the Long Island Sound keeps it up. In addition to the topography of the land, how they treat their soil and what's there mm-hmm. is also very interesting and very different.
In this next part of the interview, you and Barbara go and visit some other places. And for me, this was probably the most interesting part of your whole journey out there.
When listen to this, and I have some pictures that I took, and I'm going to try and throw them up on my website as to how treating the soil makes it differently can make a huge difference that you can see even if you don't know a lot about farming. Let's listen to what Barbara has to say.
I'm down here leaning very closely down to our soil underneath the vines. I'm looking to see how pliable our soil is and how much water it's holding. And as you can see, as I'm digging through, I'm all the way up to my first knuckle. And the earth is damp, it's moist, it's grainy. I'm all the way up to my top knuckle now. My fingers are completely buried in the soil. And quite frankly, I could keep just digging with my hand probably until I hit my elbow. You can see the soil as I crush it in my hand, and it's holding together. That's all of the beneficial microorganisms that are in that soil. Keep it, I don't want to say slimy, but they do exude a slime through these single-celled organisms, and that's what keeps the soil pliable and able to hold moisture.
Well, as long as there's a thin crust on the top, but as soon as you dig down, you've got moist soil.
Yes, and it smells like freshly plowed earth. I can smell the carbon that's in the soil, which is so important for nutrient exchange between the plant and the soil.
Okay, now we've crossed over from your vineyard, we've walked down a little ways. These vineyards that we're on, they embrace sort of modern chemical farming, the norm.
Well, right. What you can see here is underneath the vines, they've used herbicide, and I just call it scorched earth. There's a very small strip of grass that grows down the vineyard rows, but if you multiply this over the acreage they have and see that this herbicide strip underneath the vines is actually larger than this tiny little strip of grass that's growing in between these areas of scorched earth, I would say two-thirds of this vineyard is herbicided all year long. It's killing the soil. The soil will crust over. You cannot dig into it. It's, they say, hard as a rock. Well, this dirt is hard as a rock, and it's dead.
Okay, prove it to me.
Well, all we have to do is bend down.
Yeah.
And when I was digging in the soil, it didn't occur to you to actually knock on the soil.
No, it didn't.
Okay, I'm going to knock on the soil, and you can see how hard it is.
It's hard as a rock.
Hard as a rock. Can't dig into it. Look, I can't even get my hand into it. It's dry, and it's hard.
Yeah, it's really wild. You really can't. I know I'm trying to push as hard as I can, and I did break the crust, but all I get, if I get underneath at all, I just get dust. I just get dust. There's nothing living in the soil at all. It's, when you break it in my hands, it blows away in the wind.
That's true, and we have a real potentially bad erosion problem here if we do get a hard rain.
Now, with this soil, is this soil more likely to erode? Will your stay put more?
Our stays put because of the natural meadow that we grow all the way across the vineyard. The soil does not move. It stays intact and just continues to prosper.
Full stop. Okay, so we're down away from your vineyard. This isn't your property. This vineyard here is sort of well-kept. It looks something like yours, not exactly like yours. Right behind it, how many acres is that of disaster area over there? What is that, a marsh?
Actually, that's a vineyard that the owner has chosen to not take care of, and it's only taken about 3 years for the vineyard to completely die off and become overgrown with what we call the wild olives out here.
Wild olives, actually olives, or not?
They're a species that is related to the olive tree, but they're not producing any fruit.
Now, so you're telling me that 3 years ago, this was cultivated vineyard then?
This is a beautiful vineyard. It was one of the nicest vineyards out here on the North Fork. And it just goes to show you that if you don't tend to these grapes morning, noon, and night, 365 days a year, the vineyard will literally disappear. And here you can see, you can't even see a grapevine. They've completely died. And all we have is scrub brush and then the vineyard posts and trellis wire is still strong.
Well, and you've also got what looked to me to be 6-foot-tall, like, tree-like things growing in just a couple of years. I'm sure they're just monstrous weeds, but the amount of chaos here is absolutely incredible. And it's, you know, all the more testament to the hard work that winemakers do to keep vineyards.
Yeah, Mother Nature corrects herself, and she corrects herself quickly. And I think to look at this vineyard, it really gives us a lesson. Before, I was talking about growing a monoculture. Mother Nature will get rid of that monoculture as quickly as possible. And you can see it here in its extreme form, where she has actually rid herself of the vineyard and is now beginning to grow a natural indigenous woods again. But look at here in our vineyard, where we were just a few minutes ago, there's chamomile, there's clover growing. We probably had, 60 varieties of broadleaf natural weeds growing, probably 40 different species of grasses. Mother Nature did this herself. We didn't come in and plant this. And she's always trying to diversify in order to keep herself balanced.
So do you think that's one of the reasons that diverse vineyards do better is because they're sort of more acceptable to Mother Nature?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're not meant to understand all of this. And that's sometimes where biogenomics comes in. Biogenomics says don't try and scientifically explain everything. Work with Mother Nature. Trust that what you're doing is eating in a natural ecosystem that Mother Nature has developed over centuries and centuries and eons and eons, and try and work within that instead of working against her.
I look out here, Barbara, and I see no vines, and I see a very tall, very wild place, and the thing that makes it actually kind of scary and not just an overgrown part of my field is the posts are still in the ground, the wires are still in the ground. Does that make this you couldn't just come in and recover this vineyard at this point or use it for anything unless you did a lot of work to pull all that stuff out, right?
Yep, you'd have to pull all the trellis system out. And you'd have to come in and bushwhack through all of this and cut the trees down and take back the land and turn it into farmland again.
Well, it would be hard to bushwhack because it's hard to pull the trellises out because it's intertwined with the undergrowth. And it's hard to cut out the undergrowth because you've got trellises everywhere.
It's a real problem. It's a real problem.
Francis, I saw the pictures that you brought back of that abandoned vineyard, kind of a abandoned vineyard.
I've never seen anything like it
and
in my life.
I just can't, first of all, in such a short period of time that so much damage could be done, it just boggles the mind. And not just damage, but natural growth could come up. I mean, I know how much my hedges grow in a year, but you don't think about things just coming up that quickly. And there's really no way to go into that vineyard and tear it all out because it's all trellised.
Yeah.
You have these big posts in there with trees growing between them. I don't see any way other than to get a big backhoe and knock it all out. I don't see any way to save that.
One of the things that really struck me, it's very humbling, was when looking that abandoned vineyard. I have to say in my 20-some-odd years of doing this for a living, learning about wine and food and where food comes from, but especially wine and grapevines because, you know, grapevines are a permanent plant, as you, of course, you know, but the listeners out there should know that grapevines are a permanent crop. You know, you don't move your grapevine from one year to the other. But it was so humbling to see what happens in such a little time. It is a testament to, without your farmer, what your farmer is working so hard every day to make sure it doesn't happen. Hey, listen, we'll be back in just a moment. Central Jersey, 1450, it's 1146.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't based on lighting. Lights on Nine is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on Nine supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on Nine has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps, to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on Nine, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightsonnine.com. That's lightsonthenumber9.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi. Today's show is an interview with Barbara Shin and David Page of Shin Vineyards up on Long Island and Home Restaurant in Manhattan and the bed and breakfast they have out there. You can find out more about it at restaurantguysradio.com and go make a reservation and stay. I highly recommend it. You know, Mark, one of the issues that I got to talk with Barbara about is people often think that people who practice biodynamic agriculture or organic agriculture are sort of hippies who are anti-technology for being anti-technology's sake. And that's not the case. They're trying to distance themselves from eating chemicals.
Well, there's an idea that people who are farming organic or farming organically or farming biodynamically are backward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Barbara and you talk to Barbara and David, one of the things that you realize is they're looking back at history,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they are very forward thinking.
Let's listen to an example of just that very exact thing that you're talking about.
Okay, Barbara, this is a very different field here. And I got your email sort of detailing what exactly it is, so I can't pretend like I don't know. But this is a new planting. And these vines are, 4 inches tall?
They're about 4 inches tall, and we planted them a month ago, and they're just starting to put out their first leaves.
Now, these are in perfect, perfect rows. How does that happen?
Well, it's really interesting. We plant them with the laser planter. What it is a contraption, a carriage that's hung on the back of a tractor. And the tractor driver can drive the tractor down a row. There's two guys on the back of this carriage that are planting the vines. The carriage is actually what is connected to the laser that's sitting at the end of the potential row. So what this means is that if the tractor driver starts swerving to the left or the right, the carriage will stay in perfect alignment with the laser. The carriage will slide back and forth and adjust itself in order to stay in line with the laser, and then you get these perfectly planted rows.
I think that some people may have a misimpression that people who are in favor of biodynamic methods, more holistic methods of agriculture, are afraid to use science, but it seems to me that that's not the case with your laser tractor.
Well, we're in a very interesting interesting time in agriculture for those that tend to heed and pay attention to the times we're in, because we're finding a marriage between science and more low-impact sustainable farming. Science is actually helping us find when disease pressure is high. Therefore, people that choose to use conventional materials may not have to use them in such great quantities or so often. It also helps me as a sustainable farmer not have to use them at all and be able to perhaps sleep at night thinking, well, we're not getting rain, we're not getting humidity. I can back off and not have to worry so much and let the vines grow and perhaps not make a mistake in an application of a material that I put out in the vineyard.
We can use science in the service of observing what's going on in the vineyard. Does it help someone who wants to try and act sustainably as possible to do that because they know if they can resort to pesticides or something they need to if in the end they've messed it up?
It's kind of funny that you put it that way, because what science has done is it actually helped us come up with organic aromatics, believe it or not. So, for instance, what I use right now in the spring is white mineral oil to get rid of mites because it smothers the mites, and it also will eradicate any powdering mildew that may have gotten started up on a microscopic level in the vineyard. So if I use it every 7 to 10 days, and here it is, white mineral oil, an organic substance that science has recently been able to purify and formulate for us still in an organic form, then I can use this with full confidence.
But you sprayed your vineyard with silica. Why silica?
Wow, this is a really interesting experiment we're doing in the vineyard. It's not an experiment for anyone that farms biodynamically, but it is for me because I haven't used it yet. And, of course, whenever you're trying to be lower impact on your farm with any materials that you use, you always have to make it customized particularly to your farm because each farm has its own ecosystem. Silica, it's a quartz-based silica, and this is the marriage of science and biodynamics. Again, actually, this is a good example. Silica and quartz, if it's ground into a fine powder and you apply it to the leaves, what it's going to do is it's going to refract the sunlight all throughout the growing leafy green canes of your vine and will impart more light right into that growing region. There's a little disease called powdery mildew that we can get out here on the East End and actually everywhere in the world that likes the dark shaded crevices of the leaves and the canes. So the theory is if you put this quartz dust throughout your canopy, the light that is refracted throughout that canopy, which is the green leafy area of the vine, will become saturated with light, and the powdery mildew cannot thrive and prosper. Cornell University just did a study 2 years ago that came out with the observation that powdery mildew likes to grow in the dark crevices of the leaves and canes. I wonder how we can get more light into the canopy. Does anyone have any ideas? Of course, I didn't say anything because I'm experimenting with it, and they can come and find out later.
This is something that would be common in biodynamics, and you have modern science looking for a way to achieve this exact thing. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, and I have full confidence that hopefully I'll be able to pass on this information and have been successful this year.
God bless you.
Barbara Shin talking about her laser planter.
You know, in a way, it's using your intelligence to be forward-thinking and to be simple, mm-hmm. and to do it as simply and as possible. One of the reasons I think this is so often a view that's disparaged is because we're trying to do it without petrochemicals. There's really no way for someone to make money other than the farmer by, mm-hmm. by doing this. You can't make you can't make money on dung. Okay,
right.
It comes, you know, it's that's
right.
Not
fish
it.
Guts, very cheap.
Yeah,
very cheap.
So you know, if you invent a chemical and then convince everybody they need to use your chemical, well, you can make money if you have the mm-hmm. patent on that chemical. So let's be aware of where the competing science is, what it's motivated by, and what Barbara's dispassionate or passionate inquiry into the situation is looking for. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. I enjoyed the interviews with Barbara and David up on their vineyard tremendously.
This was as real an interview as I've ever heard anywhere on radio, on TV, anywhere. This is exactly the conversation that we would have sitting in Barbara and David's living room or walking their vineyard.
But what's even deeper for us, and I hope this came through in the interview from our perspective, is Barbara and David, you know, walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all, you know, sort of came to these ideas together. We came up together in the restaurant business. And you know, these guys, you know, I'm going to the green market. They're on the farm.
They are the green market.
They are. Yeah, they don't go to the green market. It's too much between them and the food. But look, I'm not saying that. First of all, it's a wonderful experience to be able to go and visit it and see what she's talking about and be in that vineyard and walk through the meadow that is under their vineyard. And secondly, talk to people that are intelligent and insightful about it, and they're not pretentious about it or stuffy mm-hmm. about it or overly intellectual about it. This is just what they do. I think it's unusual for them to, you know, they've had full page spreads in New York Magazine, mm-hmm. but they're not out there advertising. We're on the radio talking about it. They're in the field doing it, and yep. it's just a part of their lives.
And a beautiful place, and I'm going to give them one little plug now. Shin Vineyards, the wines are really terrific. The place itself is just extraordinarily beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Great place to go and relax and get away from it all.
By the way, the number of rooms? 3 guest rooms, by the way. Three. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the hour with the restaurant guys and Barbara Shannon and David Page of Home Restaurant. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the restaurant guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon. Mm-hmm.